at me.
Othello on the beat.
What's going on, everybody? Jay Wright with Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 20. Really excited about this conversation that we're getting ready to have. Some of you may not be aware, but this month is Sickle Cell Awareness Month, and I really don't have a lot of information on this disease. I know a lot about it, so I decided to ask my sister, Taylor Harris, host of Danae's Dialogue, to join me because she lives with this disease. So she's going to really explain to us what the disease is and her daily life living with this disease. Also, what we can do to help those who are living with sickle cell. So I want you all to pay close attention to what's being talked about. It's really good, really inspirational. And I hope you get something out of the conversation. So without any further ado, here's episode number 20, Living with Sickle Cell, featuring Taylor Harris. Please excuse how I'm sounding. We did this interview over Zoom, and I'm not technically sound as my sister is, but she came through in a clutch, and she really helped me out on this one. So bear with me. We'll get better as time goes. But without any further ado, here's episode 20, Living with Sickle Cell, featuring Taylor Harris.
I'm blessed and highly flavored. How are you?
Flavored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I want to say I don't think I'm flavored. Don't nobody want to taste me. But anyways, but I'm so glad to have you on this podcast. Today's going to be a good episode. It's going to be an informative episode. Today, we're talking about this month of September, I believe, and please correct me, is Sickle Cell Awareness Month. And my sister, as amazing as she is, as special as she is, as gifted as she is, she lives with this, I don't know what to call it.
Disease.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm still trying to, like, watch the word, my wording, and while.
It's yeah, quite all right.
And this is what this episode is all about. We're gonna find out what it actually is, because I texted her last week and I was telling her that I feel like we don't have enough information, we're not aware enough. There's enough information, but we're not aware of the information and what someone who has this disease goes through, what they have to face on a daily basis. So it's this month once again is a Sickle Cell Awareness Month. Taylor, she lives with sickle cell. So we want to just have this conversation and kind of talk about, you know, what it is the disease, and what is it, the effects that she goes through, and then what can we do to help with someone who might be going through this? Because if I'm not mistaken, I did a little research and they say, one out of 400 black children are affected by this disease, mm-hmm. and it affects hundreds of thousands of Americans. But it's really a black disease, I should say. Can I say that? Yeah. It's really mainly a black disease. So let's jump right into it, Taylor.
Okay.
What is sickle cell disease?
I have, let's see, 3 decades now, because I'm over 30. So for the last 30 years, I've been trying to get that answer as succinct and as understanding as people can. Like, I want to explain it in the simplest of terms, right?
Right.
I don't want to use a whole bunch of medical terms, because don't nobody know what we're talking about. Right. The easiest way to explain it is, my blood cells, my red blood cells specifically, are shaped differently than the normal person's. Right. So a person without sickle cell, they have red blood cells that are round, like a circle. Okay. Those are able to move through your veins, move through your body with no hesitation, no limitations, no complications.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but a person with sickle cells, clearly as the name implies, right? Their cells are misshapen. They're messed up. So they can come in different forms. Most likely, they come in the form of a sickle or a crescent moon. You know, like the Pillsbury crescent rolls, like those.
Okay.
Right? But because your veins are V-shaped, having a crescent try to go through that V cause it to get stuck.
Mm.
The other thing is, it's not just the shape of the cells that are messed up. It's the consistency of it, what it's made of. So not only is the red blood cell messed up, it's not getting enough oxygen and it's sticky. So that it causes it to clump together with other small red blood vessels. They get clumped together and they get stuck in your vein, which clogs your blood flow. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knows the human body knows that if your blood flow stops or is clogged or is prevented from flowing in any way, it causes problems. And one of the main problems that sickle cell disease patients go through is pain, right? Because that's the one thing that happens when your blood is not flowing. You get pain in that area. And it is serious and it hurts like nobody's business. And pain is the number one symptoms, but it's also infections. It's also, you know, breathing problems. It's a variety of different things because your blood isn't flowing the way it needs to be and you're not getting enough oxygen. So basically that's what it is. There are different forms. There's different types. And that's not necessarily important. All you need to know is that at the end of the day, because my blood doesn't flow like everybody else's, because my red blood cells are misshapen, that joint hurts. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Right, right. So it causes extreme pain.
Yes.
And we will dive a little bit more into that a little later. So I know you said over three decades. But officially, how long have you been aware of this disease that you are living with?
I've known my whole life. My parents knew at birth.
Okay.
Even before I was born, my dad actually, there's like a whole story that I'll spare you, but, I knew from birth. It didn't necessarily start affecting me.
Okay.
Like the first time that I remember having like a big crisis where I had to be hospitalized when I was 9.
Okay.
So from like, you know, 1 or whatever, 0 to 9, I wasn't either thinking about it or it wasn't bad enough for me to go to a hospital. But when I was 9, I ended up catching pneumonia and that triggered a pain crisis. Wow. Right? Everything, like anything that could happen, a cold, the weather gets messed up, you know, it's raining outside, all of that can trigger a pain crisis, right? So that's the other thing that you have to watch out for.
Wow.
And so when I was 9, I got pneumonia. That pneumonia triggered a pain crisis, and I didn't know what was happening. My mother knew, but I didn't.
Mm.
And I tried to hide it for a while. Because I didn't, like, I thought I was going to be okay, and it wasn't a big deal. We had stuff to do, you know, like, that's what I'm thinking about. That's my problem to this day. I'm like, we got stuff to do. I ain't going to no hospital, right? So she was watching me, and she was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Like, no, seriously, what's wrong with you?
Right.
And so finally, I broke down and told her, and then we went to the hospital, and then that's when I found out. And from then on, it's basically been ever-present annoyance in my life. But 9 is pretty much the first time I remember actually being affected by it, but I knew the entire time.
Okay. So you just kind of said that there are times when you might have a crisis and you go to the hospital, and then sometimes they're not as bad to where you don't go to the hospital. It's kind of like you have to just ride it out, or okay.
So everybody has their own scale, their own you know, they know that. That's the thing in my house, right? Everybody said, well, you know your body the most, right? And so I know based off of how I feel whether I can tough it out at home with the medications and the remedies that I have at home versus to where I need to go to a hospital and get added help, right? Which okay. usually means IV medication, right? Not just pills that I'm swallowing and it's got to go through, you know, the digestive tract and all that. That takes at least 15, 30 minutes for a sub mm-hmm. to start working. You put an IV in your arm and you push that medicine through, that's instantaneous, right?
It hit right then, yeah.
Exactly. And so that lack of waiting will help if the crisis is too bad. And so I have to make the decision based off of how I feel, whether do I want to go through this at home or do I want to take it to the next level? Because most times if you're walking into an emergency room and you say that you need extra help, they're not just going to let you stay there until you feel like you're better. They're going to admit you, right? And so that means you're going to be stuck there for at least a couple of days. And that's usually what people are thinking about when they're weighing whether or not they want to go into the hospital or if they want to stay at home.
Gotcha.
A lot of other factors too, but yeah, that's that's the big one.
I mean, we could talk about the other other factors, but I know you said the main part, the worst part is the pain of this disease, and I can imagine because of you know some of the things that I've been through. That sometimes that physical pain could take a mental toll, mm-hmm. sometimes even spiritual toll on you. How has dealing with this disease affected you on those levels, mentally and even spiritually sometimes?
Ooh, how much time you got? Let's see.
I'm here. Let's talk about it.
Pain can be cured, right? Physical pain can be treated.
Right.
And a lot of times, mental, spiritual, that stuff takes a lot of time to be treated mm-hmm. and to go away. And in some cases, it never goes away.
Right.
Right. So, because I have a chronic illness, the pain is reoccurring, right? So, pain never goes away. Which means that there's always going to be that mental and spiritual component that's always there as well. And that's almost that the mental side of it almost hurts more than the physical. If you mm-hmm. can like kind of try to wrap your head around that, because it's not just me that it affects, right? I'm a person that loves other people around me and I want to help, right? That's my thing. If I can help you, if I can help make your life easier, then I'm okay. Mm. But when I become the help, right? When I have to be the person to be helped, that's when my mind is not able to comprehend things.
Right.
Because I'm used to helping, not being the person that is helped. And so when I do go into a crisis, I go from being 31 years old to 3, right? There have been times where my family has had to do everything for me because the pain has been so intense. Mm-hmm. And so just going through that switch of, you know, Sunday, I was just running everything. I was singing praise and worship and doing the live stream and doing the you know, I was doing all of that to literally... Now you have to carry me from one room to another, right? That's gonna mess with me,
right?
And that's the part, like the seeing the toll that it takes on my family, the fact that they have to take off of work to bring me to the ER, or they have to take off of work to sit in the hospital room, or they have to be there, you know. Like, and I know that they're grateful to do it. Let me say that, because I know, you know, they're going to be listening and yelling at the phone. I know that they're grateful to do it, but it's still, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't think about what it means for them to watch me go through that, you know? So I carry that. And then there's the spiritual component where I love God with my whole heart, mind, body, soul, all that. But trust me, the irony does not, it's not lost on me that I serve Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing, the God who is healed, you know, the God who healeth thee, and I'm still sick.
Right.
Trust me, that is not, that ain't lost on me at all. Okay. Totally get that 100%. However, over the course of my journey, I've learned to see God in a different light, right? So just because I still have sickle cell does not take away from the fact that he is a healer.
Right, right, right.
He just heals me in different ways.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good.
It's not a complete healing where it's the total eradication of the disease. It's not completely gone. And I've made my peace with that. That's fine. If he chooses to do that tomorrow, thank you. If he doesn't, thank you.
Yeah.
Right? And I've had to come to terms with he could do it for anybody else. I've watched other people get healed from diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, genuinely happy for them. And I'm okay and genuinely happy for me receiving the healing that comes from the fact that my medication works when I take it.
Right.
Right? Because it doesn't have to. I'm okay with experiencing that type of healing. Right? That healing from those emotional areas and those the physical areas that it could be I can get through today. Right? I got through yesterday. That's healing for me.
Right, right.
You know, at 12:01 tomorrow, I will thank him for getting me through today.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because literally yesterday, I just learned of somebody who I knew with sickle cell who passed away.
Oh, man.
And I'm still rocked by that. But I must be still here for a reason.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to do everything within my power to make sure that whatever the reason is that I'm fulfilling that here, and I'm doing it to the best of my ability, because the fact that I do get that healing, although it may not be complete, I'm going to use whatever healing that I get to make sure that my purpose is fulfilled.
Right.
So the mental, the spiritual, all of that comes daily. I can't focus on tomorrow right now, because I don't even know if I'm going to be there tomorrow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't focus on that. I just got to focus on right now. Yeah, if you can get me through this next minute, cool. Let's talk about the next minute.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's how I've kind of had to compartmentalize everything, where if I try to think of it too broadly, it's going to be too much. So I got to narrow it down to just focusing on right now, right? If the physical is okay, then the emotional and the spiritual will be okay too. That's why I totally understand why Paul said, I've learned to be content in every situation that I'm in, right?
Yeah.
It's something that you have to consciously think about, right? Because the situation isn't always going to be optimal. But you have to force yourself to learn to be content. And that's how I basically govern every day.
That's good. That's good. That's, you said so much, Jesus Christ. Let's go back a little bit what you said, as far as like with that family aspect, because especially when you're going through a crisis at that moment. And like you said, it could just change one day that you're running everything, and you are a helper. I've seen you work. I've seen you praise and worship, running the screen, doing the announcements, coming back. You know, yes, and you're miss hands on. everything that you do, and I've seen you work, so I can attest to that. So you said, you know, 1 minute you're flowing and you're operating in that lane, and then the next minute, you know, you're incapacitated where you're not able to move, and people have to move for you. But I can imagine, because of some of the things that I've been through with, you know, not with my sickness, my little sickness that I've been through at times where I wasn't able to do what I usually do. Right. It takes what's the word I'm looking for? Both sides have to work together. Mm-hmm. The people that's helping you got to be willing to help, and then you who needs the help has to want the help.
Right.
So I was just counseling a couple that's getting ready to get married. I was just counseling them the other day, and I was telling them about, you know, the time when I was sick, and I was in the hospital, and Keisha would come every. She just had Riley, and she was coming to the hospital every day to make sure I was straight, right. Clean me up, you know, do whatever I needed for, you know, to get better. But even in her wanting to help, I had to receive the help, because I was talking my trash. My pride was in the way. You know, I thought I could do it by myself. The next right. thing you know, I'm trying to get up on my own, and I'm falling on the ground.
Right.
And she would just sweetly and gently pick me back up. probably calling me stupid in my head, but in her head. But she would help me back up and help me get stronger. So that time period, was there ever a time when your pride ever got in that way of you receiving the help from others? Because like you said, your family is going to be family. Your loved one's going to be, they're going to, like, I'm here to help. That's what family do. We're here to uh-huh. help you. But sometimes it's hard for them to help us at times when we can be our own worst enemy, if I'm making sense what I'm saying.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, to this day. Then if I went out right outside this door, I could probably pull them in and they could tell you about stories very recently, right? Mm. Where I know that I need help, but like I said, in my head, I'm thinking about everything. Nope, this person just did this, and they got to do this later. And so they, and if they got to do this, and that means they got, you know. So I'm going through all of that, and they'll catch me, you know. I'll be crawling to the bathroom or you know, trying to do something myself, and they're like, why didn't you call? Why didn't you send a text? Why didn't you scream? You know, mm-hmm. something. Like, we right. can do that. And it's something as little as, you know, like opening a pill bottle or getting water or, mm-hmm. you know, like something small that wouldn't take much, that isn't something that they really, you know, it's not physically exerting or anything. Nope, I'm going to do it myself, because right. I don't want to bother y'all. And that's really the number one thing that's going through my head. It's not, oh, I can do this myself, I don't need y'all. It's mostly, I don't want to bother them. Mm-hmm. Y'all do enough. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, right. and I have seen, I've been in hospital stays for weeks, and I've seen where nobody has come to visit somebody. Right? Like, their family right. is not present at all. No friends, no nothing. Like, they are 100% by themselves. And I can thankfully and honestly say I have never experienced that. If they weren't there from the beginning to the end, they were there from the middle to the end, or some mm-hmm. they took shifts, or somebody was always there. And at every single say, it don't matter where I am, every single say there's some nurse or some doctor that comments on the fact that, wow, like, there's a lot of people in this room. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, hey, it's just what I'm used to. And I'm blessed right. to be able to say that. But because of the fact that they're always there, then in my head, I'm like, okay, the little things I can handle myself, right? So I'll get to my doctor's appointment by myself. I'll do this by myself. And they're like, all you gotta do is call.
Right.
Or text. Or yell. Or do some combination of all three. You know, like, just call us. And I'm like, I totally understand that. However, in my head, I'm still gonna process it through, what are you doing? Am I hindering something that you're doing? Is it going to cause, am I going to put an extra burden on you? Because if I am, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to try to do it myself first. So I'm always thinking that way.
Wow. And yeah.
They know me by now. So.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. I got you. And see, why I'm shaking my head is like, we might be dealing with different struggles, but our approach is kind of like the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be a bother to the people you love. You want to think, you try to think about, and sometimes you overthink about what they got have to do, when in their mind, they're thinking like, you're one of the things that we have to take care of. And it's like, you don't really pay attention to that because you don't want to be a nuisance. I always tell Keisha, I'm sorry for bothering you. Like, oh, I won't bother you anymore. And she like, you're not bothering me, Olajuwon. Like, it's been times she literally have to like break it down to me. Like, I'm here to help you. I'm not here. You're not being a bother. Mm-hmm. Just talk to me. And our biggest hindrance is just simply communicating. And it's like, it might be different struggles and different sicknesses, but it's the same mental thought pattern. But I want to go back to something else you said about, basically, I just summed it up as your maturity and growth in receiving healing. Mm-hmm. You're saying like you've seen some people receive healing. You've seen people completely heal. You've seen people, you know, who was once sick and now their lives have changed, and we praise God for that, true enough. Right. But you had to begin to embrace your methods of healing the way that God sent your healing, whether it was through a supernatural healing, through prayer and fasting and people praying for you, or even the medicine.
Exactly.
Taking the medicine, because I think a lot of us don't realize that you get so common with medicine that your body can begin to reject the medicine that you take. So when you said that, I even appreciate the medicine working, that's something big. And that's something that we don't really think about, or at least I don't think about. And I just really appreciate your growth in understanding the different ways God can heal us.
Yeah, it's definitely been a process. I'm not going to sit up here and lie and just act like, you know, from 9 years old, I was just content with the fact I'm going to be in pain every day in my life.
Right.
Absolutely not. And there are times where I still get angry. Hello. I am, again, it goes back to my foundation and how I was raised, right? So I watched my grandfather. He had a myriad of health issues. But I would, because, especially when I got old enough to drive and I was able to drive him places, I would see him, you know, rubbing his hip and his leg in the car. And, you know, and I know he would be praying in his head and stuff. And he would, you know, get out and limp all the way up to the front door of the church. Put the key in the lock, turn it, go through the church, no limp. He was going to stand up straight, and he was going to suck that thing up.
Right. Now,
is that healthy? Not always. However, that's what I saw all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a, like, a switch that goes on in my head where it's like, okay, this is your safe place, okay? So you can show these certain people everything. You can show them that you're wounded, that you're hurting, but at a certain place, suck it up. Let's go. We, you know, my grandfather's motto was "One monkey don't stop no show," which meant if there was a monkey that wasn't there, we were the monkeys that had to fill in for the other monkeys that wasn't there, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's where I get the hands-on thing from, where, you know, if this person isn't here, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you got to do multiple things, you do it. That's how I was raised. So having that tenacity where you're able to have that switch where it's like, okay, at a certain point, you just can't think about it. You just got to go and do it. So there's that part. And I kind of let that bleed over into the spiritual, where it was, okay, if I'm doing this for you, right? If I'm going to church, if I'm doing all this stuff in church, and my heart is in the right place, then why wouldn't you give me the strength to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So then there was that part. The part that I struggle with the most is, don't you see me hurting down here? Right? Like, you know, if you touch with all the feelings of our infirmities, don't this hurt you too?
That's good. That's good.
Like, wouldn't you want to get rid of? So I had to go through it, and I'm saying it like that because that was kind of like my thought process, where I had to travel through different stages. So it was mentally, you got to compartmentalize. There's a certain place where you got to shut it off. Even to this day, my family will tell you, if I'm in a crisis, at a certain point, I'm going to just start getting up and walking. Even if it hurts. Even if I know I shouldn't be doing it. Even if I know that it's not the right time. They know, you just getting up? Oh, okay. They know, because at a certain place, it's like, I will get stuck in this bed if I don't get up and start walking, or get up and move, or even just change position, you know, something, or else I will get stuck.
Right.
It's the same thing spiritually. You can get stuck thinking in one level. So if my constant position is, oh, woe is me, oh, it hurts, oh, why, you know, God don't love me, he don't care. And I know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everything around me says the opposite. How can God not care when he sent me a family who cares about me?
Right.
How can God not care when he's given me medical doctors who have an experience to be able to aid in my healing? How could God not care about me if I have all these things around me that are trying to make me better, right? So right. I can sit here and tell myself over and over that God doesn't care, but I'm looking at the evidence of the fact that he does, right? So I had to stop looking at what you see and look at it for what it really is, which is why I have that relationship that I do with medicine, right? Because I've seen people tap out on morphine and Dilaudid. Like, it just does not work for them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've used it so much that their body is basically like, oh, hey, when Dilaudid, you know, like, that's a powerful narcotic.
Right.
And if Dilaudid doesn't work for you, like, there's very few places that you can go after that.
Right.
And so I remember being in such a, like, all right, God, I don't want to get there. So you keep making this work, and we'll be cool. Because once you get to the place where Dilaudid doesn't work, Jesus, right. Like, I don't want to find that out. So that's why I look at the fact that when I do go to an ER or when I do get medicine, that it works. That is a healing for me because it couldn't. Right. And there are cases that I've seen with my own two eyes where it does not work. Like, it literally does not affect them. So I look at it as, well, God must be working. Because if it's helping me, if I calm down, if I can get some relief from it, that's God at work.
Right.
We expect him to do the big things. Right. We expect him to heal the limbs and raise the dead, and he can do that easily. But I'm saying it's just as easy for him to do the small things.
Absolutely.
Like make medicine work.
Right. Absolutely.
Because it does not have to. We have been so conditioned in our minds that when we take it, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's an expectation. But take it from somebody who knows, who has taken medication and it doesn't work. Right.
Right.
Because I'm on the opposite end of that, I look at it differently. So whereas other people would see it as an expectation, I see it as a blessing.
That's good.
Because it doesn't have to work.
That's good. That's good. Like, I think that we don't even really take the time to think about it, how you're putting it before us, to really, like, take the time to comprehend and look at it from a different perspective of that. Just even the fact of being grateful for the medical doctors, the doctors who come in, who help. And I just told somebody this the other day. I said, Luke was a physician.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doctor. I said, you don't think that there's times when they were walking and somebody came asking for a healing and Jesus might have said, go over there and talk to Luke and see what he can do to help you out. You don't ever think that he pointed them to the physician, to Luke, to help out whatever the ailment might be. So if Jesus had a doctor on his squad, on his team, working with him, you don't think that these doctors are here to help us? And we have this, we've adopted this, since we're talking about sickle cell, this is a black disease.
It is.
Mostly a black disease. We're going to talk about this other thing to where the black culture is not really trusting doctors like that anymore. we don't trust the doctor. Every doctor is trying to hurt you. Every doctor is trying to poison you. There's always a scheme or a plan behind what the doctor is trying to do in them trying to help you relieve whatever you're going through. So there's a, and I understand to a certain degree the distrust,
mm-hmm.
but there comes a time where you have to be mature enough to realize that it's their job to help me. And if I trust God the way I say I trust God, the doctors that are in my destiny that I'm going to come in contact with has been ordained by God, ordered by God, and they will help me get the relief that I need. But we're not mature enough, some of us. We always think there's a scheme behind everything. And instead of trusting the medical doctors, or those who study in medicine, I should say, we're doing our own Google research or YouTube research, and now we become street doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, I want to go. I want to stay on six. I want to stay right here where we are. But it's
the same thing.
Right. We have to trust. We have to, you know what I'm saying? I think that we have to really check ourselves. And like you said, just look at things from a different perspective and actually recognize that these people are from God. I'm not saying they save. I'm not saying they filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going that deep.
Right.
But what I'm saying, they're operating in their lane, their gifts, their purpose. And even operating in your gifts and your purpose, that comes without repentance. So you can still be effective in what you do,
mm-hmm.
even if you're not a believer. So we have to leave that mind frame of it's either trust God or trust the doctors. Maybe sometimes trusting God is trusting the doctors.
Oh. Don't want to hear that.
Nah.
No, because we have a tendency to over-spiritualize things, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes. And in all areas, whether how melanated your skin is, we have a tendency, especially in church, to over-spiritualize things.
Right,
now,
right.
Like you were saying, when it comes to the black community, because yes, sickle cell overwhelmingly affects black people. It's probably why you haven't heard of it. Pause. but it absolutely affects those who have melanin in their skin, whether it's called, right. whether it's black, whether it's African American or Africa, the continent, right? Because it's a continent, not a country. Come on, let's step into
it. Help us out. Help us out.
Africa is a continent. Okay.
Help us out.
54 countries in the continent. But also Saudi Arabia and the Mediterranean and Greece and Italy, right? That's why I said people with melanin in their skin. So yes, absolutely. Sickle cell is a melanated disease. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I understand the hesitation that black people have when it comes to the medical community. It has not been kind to us. Speaking from personal experience, I can tell you horror stories about what I've experienced in doctor rooms and exam rooms and ERs and hospitals. So I get it. Okay. I am on team. There is trauma in the medical community when it comes to black people. Trust right. me. Absolutely. I will buy that t-shirt any day. However, that does not negate the experience that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My new outlook on life is, if I am paying you to give me a service and you are not giving me said service, I can take said money and give it to someone else.
Right.
So, using the common sense that God has given me, if I walk into a room and the doctor, the nurse, the medical professional is not treating me well, I can take said money and go into another doctor's room.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good. We solve that issue.
That's good.
If the doctor that you are associated with is not treating you well, go somewhere else. It doesn't mean that all doctors are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But trauma is trauma. And it's going to present in a whole different type of ways, right? That's why you see this backlash against the vaccine, because trauma is trauma.
Right.
The black community is traumatized.
Yeah.
For many reasons. Okay. And so all of this, now I don't know where all of this was when it comes to the flu shot and the rubella and polio and 19,000 vaccines that we got to take before we go to school.
Help me.
I'm not sure where all that went, but now that we're here with the COVID vaccine, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't trust the doctor that's telling you that it works. Find someone else. If everybody is telling you the same thing, it's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is when somebody over here is telling you, hey, look, they're not saying what they should be saying. I have the proof. And if the proof is wrong, it's not proof.
Mm-hmm.
Facts are facts. I know we live in the alternative facts era, but that's not true. Facts are facts. And if the facts say that 95% of the people that are in the hospital right now are in there because they're unvaccinated, then the truth from that fact is get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank period. Right?
That's good.
So when it comes to doctors, I chew the meat, spit out the bones. Right? I'm going to take your medical advice.
Mm-hmm.
You're a doctor. You went to school for this. Right? Now the bones may be their arrogance, may be their attitude. It may be their any other kind of advice that they're giving you. It may be their stereotypical norms that they're presenting. I have to throw all that out and pull out the medical advice.
That's good.
Because you don't know me, right? Especially if we're dealing with, most times it's interracial, right? We're not dealing with the same race. Your doctor is usually a different race than you are. So you take the medical advice. Leave everything else. Because if you don't, it will drive you crazy.
Right.
Trust me, it will. Take the medical advice. Leave all that other stuff.
That's good.
Then, since we want to get spiritual, do what the Bible says. Find another person and see if their medical advice holds up. If somebody else agrees with what they said, well, then there you have it. You right. got your proof, right? Because we love to quote that scripture that we're two or three. No, that had nothing to do with your two people in a prayer meeting. It had everything to do with agreement.
That's good.
Right? So if you don't trust what your doctor says, you in the United States of America, everybody out there screaming about your rights, okay? you have the right as an American to go to another doctor and see if their advice holds up. Put your spiritual self, take it and put it with your scientific self and make it make sense.
Right.
Okay. So if you don't trust what your doctor says, then do what the Bible says and find two or three people that agrees and see if it agrees. Try the spirit by the spirit, even though it's not in the Bible, but try it. See if it agrees. Then you That's go good. And you make a decision. But don't throw out all the doctors because one doctor treated you wrong. And I know that's hard for us to understand because we do the same thing with church. You went to one church, now all the churches in America are bad.
Right.
So I know it's hard for us to understand. But not everybody is out there trying to personally hunt you down. You're not that important.
You need to say
there are people out there who actually want to help you. So let them. Okay. Whether that's a doctor, whether that's a nurse, most time my thing is talk to the nurses. They usually got more common sense than the doctors. So if you see the nurse over there making faces, that means you should probably go somewhere else. I always look at the nurses. They're the ones who got the main scoop on everything. So if the nurse isn't she don't look like she agreeing with what the doctor is saying, then go find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let's not throw out sound wisdom and advice for people who have studied and have degrees to prove that they studied a certain area just because you don't like their vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors are absolutely, and you brought up Luke. I don't think it was an accident that Luke was with Paul. Paul was the one who gave. Now, whether you want to believe that thorn was a physical one or a spiritual one or an emotional one, I don't care. He said he asked God to take it away three times.
Right.
And he didn't take it away.
You better confirm this thing.
So, the apostle with the thorn, whatever you want that thorn to be, had a doctor with him.
Mm-hmm.
That should give you all the spiritual confirmation that you need to get yourself to a doctor and figure out what's going on.
Right.
Everything cannot be cured with ginger ale and saltines. Everything cannot be cured with Vicks Vapor Rub.
Everything cannot be cured with 800 milligram ibuprofen.
Thank you. Y'all are killing your livers doing that. Okay. Get up. Go now. It's 2021. You don't even have to get up. You can go and see a doctor on your phone. The majority of my appointments that I've had recently have been through telecommunication.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone to a doctor's office because I ain't playing with Corona. Y'all can. All you want. Faith over Corona. God bless you. I'm going to stay here where I know it's Corona free in Jesus' name. But you don't even have to go anywhere. You can see a doctor on your device. It is okay to seek medical help. Now, again, take it from somebody who knows. Every single time I've gone to a hospital, I have not left this house without praying first. I don't care how much pain I was in. Somebody was going to come out their room with the oil. They was going to anoint my head. We was going to pray. And then we were going to go to the hospital. That's how it went. I don't care how long it took. I don't care how long it took to get somebody up. That's how it happened. Tay's not feeling well. We assess the situation. We pray. We go to the hospital. Boom. That's it. That's all you got to do. Point blank, period.
That's good. That's so good. That's so good. You're making so much sense. And yeah, we're mainly talking about sickle cell, but this lesson can be applied to all of our lives and whatever our ailment is, whatever our situation might be. This lesson that Taylor is teaching us can be applied to to our lives if we just take heed and listen to it and just do what's right. There's really nothing else to say, nothing else that can be said. But when you're talking about Paul and a thorn, and I was like, you better confirm that word, because I've been hammering this scripture into our people for so long, for a while now, that Paul's talking about this thorn. And yeah, as you said, we don't know what that thorn was, but when he went to God and God finally answered him and said, my grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, you know, sometimes that's not a good enough answer for us. But when you really break things down, when God said, my grace is sufficient, that key word is sufficient, because when you look it up in the Greek, that word means to be possessed with unfailing strength. Mm. So what God is saying, even in your thorn, I'm going to possess you in your weakness with my unfailing strength. So it's like, okay, Paul, yeah, you're going through this, and this thorn is weakening you. Yeah, this sickle cell is weakening you. Yeah, this diabetes is weakening you, or this high blood pressure is weakening you, Olajuwon, and it's making you feel weak. But my grace is sufficient. So even when you're weak, I'll possess you with unfailing strength. You can just, here's what we talking about before we started the podcast. So you can just keep swimming. So you can keep moving. Because that's what it's all about. Yes, you cannot allow your ailment or your sickness or your disease or what you're going through. And you said it before, and I'm just confirming it because we get ready to get out of here. You're going to give us our final words. You can't stay where you are.
Right.
Life is going to continue moving on whether you move along or you don't. So you can stay in that position, or you can start getting up. You can start moving. You can start doing the possible and trust God to do the impossible. What are the possible things? Moving around, going to the doctor, changing your diet, learning what you can do to help yourself out. That's doing the possible and trusting God that whatever is impossible, that he can handle it. But we'll never get there if you just sitting there laying around expecting it to happen to you. Because, you know, it's just my belief is that as believers, we can be some of the most laziest people in the world. We've changed him from being God Almighty to being delivery boy, that he's going to just deliver healing to us. He's going to knock on the door, or you can track your healing on Amazon. He's going to give you a tracking code. He's going to give, you know what I'm saying? We've gotten that lazy to where we don't understand that James tells us that faith without works is dead. So you can have all the faith you want in the world, but if you're not putting the work behind it, what you're saying you believe is a dead operation.
That's right.
It's dead on arrival. So it's like, it's important for us to change our mindset and do the possible. You know, even though you're going through what you're going through, I sympathize with you. I'm going through my own self.
Yeah.
Truth be told, I'm not feeling good right now, my own self. But it's like, I'm not going to allow that, because there was one point I did allow that to stop me from pursuing who God was calling me to be. But I'm not going to allow it unless I am physically unable to move. That's the only way that I'm not going to keep swimming.
That's right.
And if I keep swimming, I'm going to run into what I'm looking for. And if y'all don't know, we're referring to... The anointed, the anointed Dory. Messenger, finding
yes, Missionary Dory from Finding Nemo.
Yes. God bless her heart and all her parts. Thank God for her and her fans. But yeah, like I said, you have taught us so much in this episode, and you've given us a lot to think about. I want to close out on these two things, and I'm going to let you go. As a community, what can we do to help assist in the fight to help and to aid those that are battling this disease? And whatever else is on your heart, I'll let you close out on that. So you've given us a lot of information. Sum it all up for us, and how can we help?
Gotcha. How can the community help? One, become, if you're not already, become aware about the disease, whether that's Googling it. You can Google sickle cell, all a whole bunch of stuff come up. Most people know this as the T-Boz disease, or the thing T-Boz got. That's usually the response that I get. And I tell people, oh, the thing T-Boz got? Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. That's fine. You just stay informed about the disease, because, like I said, there's way too many people out there who do not know what it is. And when I say way too many people, I mean actual medical professionals. When I was in college, my freshman year of college, I walked into a hospital because I was in pain crisis. The nurse stepped about 10 feet away from me, called the doctor, and said, yeah, there's a patient here with sickle cell. I don't know what that is or how to treat her.
Wow.
Needless to say, I got the heck out of there. But,
I bet.
So, being aware about the disease, then making somebody else aware about it, whether that's tweeting, especially during this month, we ask everybody to use the hashtag sickle cell awareness or sickle cell disease on Fridays. Every single Friday, we wear red, post a selfie. And you can find it on my page at Danae's Dialogue on whatever social media platform that you want to. You can find all of the logistics about that. But every Friday, wear red, take a selfie, post sickle cell awareness. It's just a way for it to get out there so that people know what this disease actually is. Second thing you can do is give blood, donate blood. Especially now, because of everything that's happened with COVID, there is a lack of blood supply. So, especially my melanated people, I really need y'all to go out and donate. Please donate blood. Okay, most times they're gonna give you some kind of gift card or free movie tickets or something. Okay, you will get something for the stick, the little stick that you're gonna feel to give blood, but it will save lives. There is no cure for sickle cell. The only way that we can get relief is either through a blood transfusion, pain medication, or the only known quote-unquote cure is a bone marrow transplant, which doesn't even necessarily work all the time. So donate blood. And then the third thing is, for anybody who's looking for a career change out there, this is the thing that I always include. Become a medical professional, whether that's a nurse or a doctor or a research assistant or something in the medical field, because we need, one, more Black people. And I'm not afraid to say that. We need more Black people in the medical field. That's the only way we're going to change it.
Right.
If there's more people who look like us and know and can relate to what we go through, are in that profession, that's the only way it's going to change. And look up research. There's different trials happening, right? So for different drugs out there, and sometimes they need people without sickle cell to participate in these clinical trials. So if you just Google sickle cell clinical trials, you can find out about those different things. But those three or four, I think there was four, those four things are what I suggest the most that we can do as a community. Stay aware, donate blood, become a medical professional, and look up clinical trials for sickle cell. That's it. Other than that, if y'all have any questions, comments, concerns, I welcome questions. I think that's the only way that we're going to be able to get more understanding about what this thing actually is and how it affects people. Because, guarantee you, because it's 1 in 500 people that are affected, that's what the actual disease. There are a lot more people who have the sickle cell trait. Okay? And that's just the gene that carries, like, if you hook up with another person that has a trait, then that means your child has a 1 in 4 chance of having the disease. Okay? And that's what happened to my parents. My dad got a negative test, so they didn't think that he had the trait. Turns out that he did. And that's why I have the disease. So there's a lot of people who do not know that they have the trait, and they end up, birthing a child that has a disease. Now, I'm not saying that's the bad thing. I'm just saying that happens because we're not aware of it. So you can get tested before birth. I think now it's standard that everybody is tested when they get married. It didn't used to be that way, but thanks to Black Panthers, it is. Y'all can check out the history later. But, there's a lot more people who have the trait. And you can get effects from the trait. So if you have the trait and you're feeling pain or lack of oxygen, it could be from the sickle cell trait. Just because you have the trait doesn't mean that you're not presenting with the sickle cell symptoms. Okay? So there's a lot that we don't know because it stayed so hidden from the public. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage people to ask questions, because that's the only reason why it stayed so hidden. So I'm able to answer any question that I can. Very few things are off limits because I want to make sure that there's an understanding. So that I'll leave it down at that. Thank you for allowing me this time and even wanting to do this episode, because like I said, there's a lack of awareness within our own community.
Right.
There's a lot of Black people who don't know what this thing is. So I appreciate the fact that you wanted to have this this topic and that you brought me on to discuss it. So once again, thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, my beautiful, intelligent sister. Thank you for your transparency and in talking about this. And I am better for it. And I know that those that listen and comprehend would be better for this as well. So much thanks to you. Thanks to you again. I love you. I appreciate you. And we're in this together. And we're gonna keep fighting this together, and we'll get better. We'll be better for it. So thank you again, sis. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast, Frustrated Black Christian, episode 20, Living with Sickle Cell, featuring Miss Taylor Harris. All right. Until next time, we'll see you next week for another episode. Remember to be positive, be productive, and be purposeful. And we see y'all next time. All right. Peace.